Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. David Eichel momentarily. Bottom of the hour, David Kaplan from Chicago. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors Cappy. Get the latest on the Chicago Bears and what they potentially are going to do at number 9. I'll talk some Cubs with Cap as well, and then Trent will make some picks. Circus Sports sponsor Trent's Play of the Day. Let's get David Eicholt in here. David, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Doing good, guys. What's going on? How are you?
Doing well. Appreciate that. I just saw the announcement last night. We didn't talk about it earlier. The update just reminded me. Caitlin Clark wins the Sullivan Award. Not a shock, right, that she did, but I was surprised that she's the first two-time winner.
Yeah, that was surprising to me, and it's amazing to me that Caitlin Clark can continue to bring in all this hardware, but she wasn't the Dawn Staley Point Guard of the Year for some strange reason this year, despite having, I would argue, the greatest single season of all time, at least statistically. But, yeah, you know, it kind of was swept under the rug. It really wasn't made that much of a big storyline. But let's not forget, like, this is arguably the top all-around award just in college athletics. So I think she needs to take a lot of pride in that. And you're right. I am very surprised that she was the first two-time winner. I did not know that, and I did not expect that.
When the WNBA season starts and ESPN has the rights to the first game of the year, apparently the most watched WNBA game of all time was last year during the finals, during the Aces. Not this season that just passed, the one previous. And it was like 1.4 million viewers watched that game. That's going to fall on the opening night, is it not?
I think it's going to be at least 3 to 4 times that.
I'm with you.
It sounds crazy, but that's just sort of the pull that Caitlin Clark has right now. And I think, you know, there's a lot of other WNBA stars that are, I think, going to start cashing in thanks to Caitlin bringing new eyes. And not that the other players didn't deserve the platform before, but there just wasn't a lot of people exposed to the WNBA. And something else to keep in mind, too. The WNBA has to be thanking their lucky stars that two things happened. One, the Indianapolis, you know, the Fever end up winning the lottery.
Yep.
Because I think that really solidified Caitlin going pro. But number two, I believe this is the last year under the current media rights deal for the WNBA.
Yes, you're right.
So getting Caitlin in the league now and continuing to put eyes on it, I mean, there's going to be a lot of money thrown around, especially if the ratings skyrocket due to Caitlin Clark. And I've always said, too, the players attract the new eyes, the love of the teams and the culture of the league are what keep people around. And I think that's what's going to happen. You know, Caitlin might not be playing women's college basketball next year, but I think the ratings are going to continue to rise, and something that women's college basketball cannot possibly screw up and the WNBA should not screw up is they need to allow the 3 to 4 year rule before they get to the WNBA. That has to stick, because I think there's an interesting selling point with women's college basketball and women's hoops, because people get to know the star players for longer than just 1 year. So it's going to be very interesting. I do think that ends up doing, I mean, 5 million. Seriously, I'm going to be surprised if it's not about 4 to 5 million.
It'll be conference semifinals for the NBA and the NHL playoffs. So there's going to be opportunity there. There'll be other stuff on, but a Tuesday night with all the buildup, and you know ESPN, they'll be have that marketing machine up and working heavy overtime leading into that first game. Well, Lucy Olson is official. She signed on the dotted line. Press release came down from the University of Iowa. With Olson now in the fold, what's a realistic expectation for this year's Iowa women's basketball team?
Yeah, first of all, I think Lucy Olson's going to be one of the best transfer additions for any program in the country. I mean, I think if you look at the team that Lucy Olson had at Villanova, I mean, their second leading scorer was averaging 8.3 points per game. It's not like she had a luxury of talent, and she still ended up dragging them to, I believe, what's the equivalent to the CBI for women's college basketball. She got them to the finals there. But Lucy Olson, I think, puts Iowa in the second weekend. I mean, I think this is a Sweet 16 caliber team. If they get the right draw, I think they can make an Elite Eight. Lucy Olson's not going to be relied upon to do what she did at Villanova, but I still think she can average 18 to 20 points. She's going to have more help than she's ever had before. I don't think at this moment that there's going to be any more transfers out of the Iowa women's program. Of course, things could change. Mm-hmm. But I think you have Taylor McCabe, who's going to be a breakout star in the Big Ten basketball. I think she's going to be one of the best shooters, if not in just the league, in the country, from three. Hannah Stolke moving back to the four is going to be massive. And Sydney Poulter is going to be all Big Ten caliber. I think we saw what she could do. I think she's playing the best basketball of her career. And that postseason going to the Big Ten tournament was great. I do think they need to develop some depth on the bench, but I think if you bring in the freshman Ava Hayden, who I think is going to end up taking over as the starting post player, 6'4", 6'5", incredibly athletic, very efficient player. I mean, I think with Lucy Olsen, a proven leader who's not going to be Caitlin Clark, but does not need to be Caitlin Clark. No way should ever compare anybody to Caitlin Clark because she was so transcendent, and it's not fair to the current players. Yep. I think that this is going to be a Sweet 16 caliber team. I think that it's going to be perfect for the one-year carryover that Iowa needs to have, because I was worried if they didn't land Lucy or a high-impact transfer that the momentum could trend downward. But I think if you look at that 2025 class, you have Addison Deal, who's, I believe, number 12 by ESPN. I mean, I think that that 2025 class could have three five-star prospects committing to Iowa. I mean, I think it's going to be the best class in Iowa women's basketball history.
I just watched some video Deal over the weekend. Mm-hmm. She looks really good.
She does.
It's amazing. Top 25 team for sure, I would think, going into the season next year. Ready to talk some football, and obviously, David, the news yesterday. I'm not sure you were surprised by this. Some people were. The Deacon Hill is now in the transfer portal. So a two-part question. What was behind it? Was he kind of nudged? Have you heard that? And then give us a couple of realistic targets that might be available. Obviously, you know, Hill goes into the portal, and Brendan Sullivan announces at Northwestern that he's leaving there. A lot of people are connecting those dots. Are you?
I think that's certainly a possibility, but here's my analysis and talking behind the scenes some people. Number one, I want to preface it. I think Deacon Hill's a great kid. I think he's a great teammate. I think he got thrown in a bad situation. Not that he would have lit the world on fire, but it was a broken system. You know, the offensive line wasn't great, and obviously Deacon had his handful of mistakes. But I think when Tim Lester came to Iowa, and this is something I'm writing a story on right now, he gave everybody a clean slate. He did not watch much tape from last year. He watched tape from last spring to know how Kirk Ferentz likes to do spring football. I think Deacon got the number one reps because he had a starting experience, but it also came down to the point of saying, hey, you have a shot during spring to earn the fact that you are here, to earn the fact that you could end up playing time this year. And I just don't think that Deacon Hill progressed enough to the point where I would not be surprised if Tim Lester sat him down in the post-spring meeting, which is still going on this week, and just said, hey, with all due respect, I don't think you're ever going to play meaningful football here again. Mm-hmm. And I think, I'm not saying they pushed him to the portal, but they just gave him an ultimatum saying, hey, you can still stay on scholarship, you can stay at Iowa, but you're not going to see time. And I think Deacon Hill obviously wants to continue to play football, and that's why he entered the transfer portal. And I do think, you know, that could be the case for a couple other positions, but I don't know at this moment if anybody else could transfer out. But as far as Deacon, that's my analysis of it. But I do think a couple other things. One, Brendan Sullivan, I think, is going to be a big target. I think Chad Lysko is the first one to put it out that Tim Lester actually did recruit him and offered him out of high school when he was at Western Michigan still. So I do think that there's some intrigue there. But another thing that I think needs to be thrown in this equation, and maybe this is a hot take, Cade McNamara should not be the guaranteed starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think it's irresponsible if that's the case. I think if you're pitching to guys in the portal saying, hey, you can come in and compete to be a starting quarterback, I think Cade can be effective, but he's coming off two season-long injuries. He's learning another system, has not been able to play in spring. I believe he's going to be fully cleared in June or July, Kirk Ferentz said. But you can't offer a guy like that the guaranteed starting role. There has to be an open competition at this point. So I do think that that's going to be interesting. But I'm also keeping my eye on a couple other quarterbacks that could potentially enter the portal but are not officially in the portal. And I don't want to put their names out publicly, but there are a couple of rumblings about some guys that could enter the portal. And if they do, I think Iowa would at least throw its pitch out to them.
Tell us a little bit about the kid coming in from Missouri State, Jalen Sharp.
Is that a receiver?
Yeah, wide receiver, started his career at Houston, and he's not a big guy. He's not an X receiver, 5'9", but a little bit of speed out there. Kind of what the game plan and the likelihood that Iowa can get a commitment.
Yeah, I mean, he's being recruited by a lot of other Power 5 schools at the moment. I mean, I thought at first the main competition is North Texas because there's a hometown poll. Don't let the size fool you. That is a guy that absolutely thrives in Tim Lester's system. A ton of speed, gets in the open field, can make guys miss. I think there's a lot of intrigue there, but it's also the point where, again, at this point, how do you recruit wide receivers to Iowa? Yeah. It's almost the same thing as quarterbacks to me. I mean, I think that's going to be the toughest part for Tim Lester is trying to prove to guys, hey, this is a completely new system. We're making some changes. You will get the ball. But I think if you take Raylan Sharp and you take Caleb Brown, I mean, those are two guys that I think have a ton of versatility. And I think they thrive in Tim Lester's system. And if I'm Lester, I put on the tape of Sky Moore and said, hey, I'm going to make you do that. That's how I'm going to utilize you. So I do think some Power 5 schools or Power 4 schools, I should say, with the Pac-12 not really existing anymore, they are poking around. I think Iowa's putting the full court press on them. I think the NIL resources could be beneficial toward Iowa in this. And, you know, the opportunities are there for Raylan Sharp. I mean, right now, before the incoming freshmen come in, Iowa has five scholarship-wide receivers, which is a crazy low number. And you look at quarterback, I think Iowa only has two scholarship quarterbacks at the moment. But, yeah, Raylan Sharp is an absolute, I don't want to say must-grab, but if you talk about a guy transferring up a level with that sort of production, how he could fit in Lester's system, I mean, I'm going to be very surprised if John Budmeyer and Kirk Ferentz and Lester are not doing everything they can to land him. And ideally, he doesn't leave this Iowa City without committing to Iowa, but there's also a lot of other schools that are poking around. I'm not going to be surprised if he holds out for that.
And he's on his visit as we speak, correct?
That's correct, yes. Yeah. He is in Iowa City.
Gotcha. Just going back to the weekend, David, just a thought or two from what you saw. What stuck with you from the spring game Saturday?
Yeah, I think the first thing, obviously, is I don't care what the production looked like on the offense. I know it's kind of weird to say. I was looking at more schematics. Is there going to be a new system in place that at least allows players to thrive? Number one, there was no two-yard out routes on third and four. They were going past the first down sticks. Thank
what a
God
concept.
For that. Yeah. If I had to watch another two-yard curl route or an in route, I was going to jump out the press box window. It was that bad last year. But I was pleasantly surprised. They didn't run a ton of RPO. We talked to Jay Higgins afterward, and Jay Higgins said, yeah, I think Tim knew that there was going to be a lot of cameras here, so he kept it simple. But Jay Higgins said it was a very stressful spring because of how the offense was pushing the defense. And Jay Higgins actually said they had to install some new defensive packages to keep pace with the offense. So I think that's something that at least sticks out to me. The defense is going to be spectacular. I think the biggest thing is, can they replace Cooper DeJean at the other corner spot? I think Max Llewellyn, I think Brian Allen Jr. and those guys can at least replicate Joe Evans' production on the edge. Maybe not that leadership quite yet. But Iowa probably has arguably the best linebacking core in the Big Ten, probably top three in the country. And Reese Dockin is going to have ups and downs at punter. But, man, I'll tell you, that kid can boot a football. He had about a 52-yarder that landed inside the 5-yard line. Nice. And that really showed me, hey, there's going to be some struggles, but he's got a lot of potential. No Torrey Taylor yet, and it's impossible to be Torrey Taylor. But definitely some optimism there.
Oh, like that, and like the sound of that. Punting, well, it's not exactly winning, but hopefully we do not have to see Dakin nearly as much as we saw Torrey Taylor throughout the course of his career. Finally for you, men's basketball, got the commitment from Thelwell last week. What's happening? No, they're still looking for a big, a power forward, even a center type. Kind of what you're hearing on that front on the men's basketball scene.
Yeah, I think Iowa's, put the full court press on UMass transfer Matt Cross. I think he makes a lot of sense for Iowa. I think he would fit in very, very nicely with Owen Freeman. I know there's a couple of other schools that from Wisconsin, TCU, USC are making a run at him. But I do think that if you look at Matt Cross's game, I think you pair him alongside Owen Freeman. I think that duo makes a lot of sense. Averaged 15, 8, and 3 assists last year, can at least be a rim protector. I think a more proven rebounder than I think, Philip Abracha and Ben Cricky have, and each of them have their own strengths. But I think if Iowa can find a way to get Matt Cross in the fold, you compare him with Thelwell, assuming you get Peyton Sanford back, Cross, Owen Freeman, Josh Dix. I mean, I think you're looking at a pretty good middle of the pack, maybe upper of the middle pack Big Ten team. I think Matt Cross moves the needle, and I think, you think about the progression of Owen Freeman. I don't want to say there's a like, I don't want to sound overly optimistic right now that there's too much to be excited about, but I do think Iowa and Fran has a more open mind about the portal, and I think they're trying to utilize it at least to be a lot more aggressive than they have been the past couple of years.
What uniform is Cooper DeJean posing with the commissioner in tomorrow?
My Green Bay Packers. I'm speaking it into existence. I think they're putting the full court press on him. I know there's a lot of people, at least among the writers, they're Matt Schneidman from The Athletic. I know the front office likes him. And I've also seen the Packers could take Torrey Taylor in round six. So if I get Lucas Van Ness, Torrey Taylor, and Cooper DeJean in a Packers uniform, it's going to be a good weekend for David Eichel. No question.
Good stuff. David, thank you for doing this. Enjoy the draft tomorrow night. Hope it works well for your Packers. And we'll talk to you down the road, David. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate you. Take care. Have a good week.
Yeah, you're the same. Good to talk to you. David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com, HawkeyeInsider.com, part of 24/7 Sports. Good info there with David, as always. All right, Trent, let's give away $1,000. Well, try.
We're going to try. Absolutely.
It's Bills. Bills at KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000 in this nationwide contest. Bills at KXNO.com. We'll take a quick timeout, pay some bills, come back. David Kaplan will join us. The latest from Chicago with the Capman. Miller and Condon. Trent's plays of the day still to come. Circus Sports sponsor those. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Just past 12:30 on a Wednesday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Let's head to Chicago. They'll be active tomorrow. Picks 1, pick 9, new football stadium, by the sounds of things. Cubs off to a good start against those Astros, and the White Sox working on the worst record in Major League Baseball in a long, long time. Hello, Cap, Trent, and Ken. How are you?
What's up, Trent and Ken? How we doing, boys?
Doing well, doing well. So I guess, Cap, let's start with the draft, because after all, you're about to get a franchise quarterback in Caleb Williams, and then I guess all eyes turn to the 9. What's the latest, Cap? I mean, you can't believe anything you're hearing, but what do you think is most likely? Do they move up and try and get a Joe Alt? Does Alt fall to them? Do they want a defensive player, which seemingly the odds are starting to indicate that that's seemingly the buzz? Or if Odunes is there, how do you pass on him? What's going to happen at 9?
So when all this stuff broke on where Caleb tweeted, I don't know if you guys saw it yesterday, hey, look who's on my flight, y'all. It's Rome Odunze. And apparently then there was some reporting from Tom Pelissero that Caleb has been throwing to Odunze in L.A. He's also thrown to DJ Moore and to Keenan Allen. And so people went, well, he didn't have them all together. It was just separate. And then this morning, it was made clear. No. All three of them were together with Caleb in L.A. at, like, they're a team already. And so a lot of people believe, wait a minute, you had all three receivers catching passes from your future quarterback together in Los Angeles? So do I think it's a done deal? Look, unless they have a prearranged trade to go up to get this guy, he could be gone. There may be teams that have him wide receiver 1. I don't know. But if the Bears want him, they might have to move to go get him. I would take an offensive lineman if the right guy was there. I just don't think that's the way they're thinking. I keep hearing that they're comfortable with Braxton Jones. So if that's the case, then they're probably not moving heaven and earth to go get Joe Alt or Fashanu or whatever the top tackles are. So we'll find out there. And then there are others that think, you know, I saw FanDuel and DraftKings this morning, the overwhelming favorite for the Bears to take at 9 is the interior defensive lineman, Byron Murphy.
From Texas,
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
from Texas, that wouldn't be what I would do, but I would do something to support my young quarterback.
Cappy, what is your biggest concern with Caleb Williams as he makes this transition to the NFL? What concerns you most?
That he doesn't get food poisoning before the opening of the season. This guy's the real deal, and I'm telling you this, and I'll say it from the mountaintops. When his career ends, whether that's 10 years, 20 years from now, I know he said on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, and Fred Taylor the other day that he wants to play 20 years in one place and chase one guy. Tom Brady, number 12. So I believe whenever that day is, Caleb Williams will be behind only Michael Jordan in this city's sports lore. And that the new Mount Rushmore will, 20 years from now, be Michael Jordan and then Caleb Williams. And that he will win a Super Bowl as our quarterback, maybe multiple. And that he will be, without a doubt, the greatest quarterback in the history of our franchise. Now, I know that's like calling Ike Turner husband of the year.
Jeez.
But let me just tell you, it's a low bar, but he's that good.
It's fascinating to fill out those other two spots when it comes to Chicago athletes at some point. Cap, maybe we'll put you on the spot to do that, because there's certainly a list that would fill it. One of them's getting a statue at Wrigley Field here in the weeks, months ahead in Ryan Sandberg. Well, Cap, let's talk about the stadium, because are we there yet? Are we willing to say that, yes, there will be a new stadium and it will be downtown, and the mayor of Chicago wants it to host Final Fours and Big Ten championship football games in addition to a Super Bowl, Is this done, Cap? Is Arlington Heights out?
I don't believe that this is a done deal by any stretch of the imagination. They are asking for the hotel tax to be extended. They want public monies of $2.3 billion. And then you have this group called Friends of the Parks. And people are like, my producer, Shay, who I love dearly, he's like, I'm not from here. What is Friends of the Park? They're the ones that killed the Lucas Museum, which actually would bring in more visitors than a football stadium. The Lucas Museum, that thing's huge. And George Lucas was paying for the entire thing himself, $740 million. It would have been the biggest, at the time, 2016, philanthropic gift in the history of Chicago. History. And they said, no thanks. And now it's in being finished in Los Angeles. And maybe that's where it should be because of Hollywood, but we were going to get it. He wanted it here. And the Friends of the Park said, you're not putting it on the lakefront. Not going to happen. So now we're going to have a public-owned stadium instead of owning it ourselves, and we're going to put it right there on the lakefront where we have all these infrastructure issues anyway. I haven't had a chance to review their plan because they're speaking now, but I'm looking forward to finding out exactly what they're going to say about tailgating space, fighting with Friends of the Park, because Friends of the Park have not signed off on this plan. So, yes, it's a glitzy rendering and video and all that, but we'll find out the truth.
So a lot to be done. I mean, we hear so much about Illinois and Chicago politics. How big of a piece is that in Arlington Heights and the way that that went down? And, oh, no, we're not going to give you a tax break, all the different things. How much of this is politics that's way over, certainly Ken and Mize?
So how much of this, getting this plan approved, is politics? A lot, because if Friends of the Parks is going to fight you, that is not something that's going to be decided next Friday in court. This could stretch out for years, like it did with the Lucas Museum, where they finally said, okay, enough, we're out. So that's part one. Part two, I'm hearing they have to reroute Lakeshore Drive and go underneath, which would be tying up traffic for, you don't do that in a weekend. It's not a DIY project.
Yeah.
So that's two. Three, how is this all going to get paid for? He says no new taxes, but guess what? It is extending the hotel tax for decades on end to cover, get this, the money that they financed off this tax to pay for the original renovation of Soldier Field in 2001. That was $632 million. Guess what we owe right now? That's, 20 years ago.
How much?
What do we owe right now? Of the $632 they financed, they still owe $631.
No.
Yeah, because they were paying basically interest-only loans.
Oh, my God.
And so now we're going to put that $631 into this and refinance everything. And I may not be alive when that thing gets paid off. You may not be. Huh. My kids will be. Why should they be burdened with that? So I don't believe Mayor Johnson when he says, yeah, we're going to have no new taxes. No, because you're going to extend an existing tax.
Yeah.
Fascinating. David Kaplan joins us, Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors. Cap, let's move to baseball. Let's go to the Cubs. We sound like a broken record, but we have to bring up the bullpen again. And we have to bring up Kyle Hendricks, who's been a wonderful Cub. But it just seems like it's over. They put him on the IL. I think they're doing him a favor. How does the Kyle Hendricks thing end, Cap?
Now that he's on the injured list, I think it ends with him getting another opportunity here once he feels healthier. And they send him out to extended spring in Arizona, and he works with the pitching lab there, and he comes back here and works with Tommy Hotovy, and then they give him another shot. If it doesn't work then it probably doesn't end well. But they're going to give him another shot, I believe. Mm-hmm.
And they would allow him to retire, right, as opposed to, you know, designating him for assignment?
I mean, I don't think that is in the plan at all right now. I don't. They're paying him $16.5 million for this year. It's his final year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do everything they can to try and make him a reclamation project and fix him. Because he's a good guy.
Yep.
He's had a great career.
Yep.
But if it doesn't work and you're trying to win a championship, you can't continue to run him out there until he's right.
No padding when you're running into a brick wall with ivy on it. And that was a case for Cody Bellinger. Sounded like, at least afterwards, relatively optimistic. What can you tell us update-wise on Bellinger?
So he said it's more of a contusion. Is he going to play tonight? Jesse Rogers would be surprised. Cody said after the game, I'm more worried about the wall than my back. If that's accurate, then he's going to play tonight. Just not forget last year when he injured his knee in Houston against the Astros trying to make a catch. And he came down awkwardly on his knee. He said at the game, nah, I'm fine. He missed a month. So let's see if he's in the lineup today or tomorrow.
Al Zelaya is out as the closer. Is that it, Cap?
He's been put on pause.
Okay.
NC Almonte had a 5-out save last night. But that's pitching with a 7-2 lead.
Right.
Maybe 6-2 and then 7-2. That's okay. That's fine. I want to see you pitch when it's 3-2. And you're coming in the ninth to face Judge, Stanton, and Rizzo for playing the Yankees.
Yeah.
Prove to me you can do those things before I'll tell you that you've got the closer's job. I still think the guy that closes for this team August and September when they're trying to get to the playoffs is not in the organization right now unless his name is Ben Brown.
Wow.
It's April 24th. It might be fun to talk about an awful team and how bad they are, but it's going to be a long season as it pertains to the White Sox. What do you got in front of you, and how are you going to talk about the White Sox throughout the course of this summer?
Oof. Well, first of all, Pedro Grifol is the worst manager that I've ever seen on the south side of the city, and maybe the worst manager that I've seen in Chicago baseball in decades. I thought Terry Bevington was bad. Let me ask you a question. What sport are they the most creature, comforts, routine-oriented? That'd be baseball, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Michael Kopech is, by every stretch, your closer. Whether you like him or not, he throws 101 miles an hour. He is your closer. You have a 5-2 lead in the eighth, and you bring in Kopech in the eighth?
For two.
Hey, Michael, we're going to have you pitch an inning early. Mm-hmm. And the guy who's been pitching well in the eighth inning, Steven Wilson, we'll have you pitch the ninth this time. Mm. Why? I have no idea. And Kopech gives up a two-run homer. Steven Wilson gets lit up, and you lose a ballgame. I don't think his team is held accountable, whether it's missing a cutoff man or not running a ball out. I just think he's a terrible manager, and if I owned the team, he would be fired today.
Hmm. All right, so we know Caleb Williams is one. We'll get you out of here on this, Cap. Who do the Bears get with their second first-round pick, regardless of where it falls? If they move up?
I'm going to say that when we talk next week, Rome Odunze will be at Bears camp working with Caleb.
That would be unbelievable. David Kaplan, thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you in a week,
Capper. All right, have a great day.
Yep, see you, buddy.
Down.
Yeah, there you go. David Kaplan on Chicago Sports joins us each and every Wednesday. It's brought to us by our friends at Centurion Stone of Iowa. They're open now, 5525 Northeast 22nd Street in Des Moines. Got a project inside, outside, requires some stonework. Manufactured natural stone veneer products, Centurion Stone of Iowa. Make them a stop. I believe it'll be your last stop once you visit the showroom. And if you work an 8-4, 8-5 job, Monday through Friday, you'd be glad to know that they have Saturday morning hours. They're open at 8 and close at noon. If you want to head over to the showroom at 5525 Northeast 22nd Street in Des Moines, online, CenturionStoneOfIowa.com. Check them out on the website, see the testimonials, see some of the products that they have available. CenturionStoneOfIowa.com. Trent's plays of the day. They're next. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.
Trent's pick of the day is brought to you by Circa Sports. Download the Circa Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Didn't plan this out this way since we're about to talk gambling.
Yes.
But Doc's piece at The Athletic on the gambling from a year ago here in the state of Iowa. I guess the lawsuits are about to be filed. Federal lawsuits about to be filed on behalf of the players. A couple of different attorneys that are involved for a legal search is what they're saying. So the story, although it kind of quieted it off a little bit for the last month or so, expect more news coming out next week. And if you are a subscriber to The Athletic, as Trent and I both are, you can read Scott Dockerman's piece on what is about to come.
That is part of my afternoon
guess reading.
I'm heading up to Ankeny today.
What do you got going on there?
I did not realize that my license expired on my birthday.
Yes. Is it 10 years?
It was 8.
It's 8-year license.
Okay. Yes, that's what it was. And how often do I look at my license? Outside of
flights. You know what? I'm going to pull mine out of my wallet right now.
You know, it's just one of those things that, and Bet Rivers right now has an updated sign-in where you have to sign in and they want you to verify. So I put my driver's license in there. I said, no, we can't accept this because it's expired.
So you can't use your account?
I still can, but it's another verification process that they're setting up. I think it's for down the line. Uh-huh. You can still get in there and everything like that. But if I wouldn't have done that...
You wouldn't have got on the plane. Would not have got on the plane.
It probably would have been in July.
Yes.
We'd be getting ready to go to Vegas.
Right.
And they would have told me, sorry, Condon.
Yeah.
You're out.
Oh my God.
So, I'm heading up to Ankeny today. I got the appointment about 2 weeks ago.
You can get an appointment?
Yeah. About 2 weeks out, something like that.
That's new, right?
Yes.
Because the wait's just...
Well, I haven't got the Gold Star. I hadn't had the Gold Star because I got my
license. Oh, that's for travel, right?
Yes.
I can't get the Gold Star.
You're not allowed?
No.
Really? As a Canadian?
Correct.
They won't...
Yep.
But you can still travel, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Okay.
They'll still allow that part of it. Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, so that was kind of what I'm doing. So I got a lot of reading time and probably be sitting in the DOT for a long time this afternoon.
Last time I was there, I guess 10 years ago, I did not bring my green card. And I went through the whole process and got to the, finally somebody asked me if I'm a citizen. And the answer, of course, was no. Well, we'll need to see your green. Are you kidding me? It's at home. I've just wasted these 3 hours. That happens, right? Let's make some plays.
We got, 10 of them overall today.
Oh,
one's
just
already,
10.
Yeah, one's already underway. I had to take the Diamondbacks after last night, right, against the Cards, and they're out to a 1-0 lead in that one as they move to the bottom of the third. All right, a lot of baseball here. Got the Mets. They've been terrible against the Giants, and I bet on them every single night. Maybe a day game will help them out, giving the Mets plus 110. Milwaukee, I'm going to lay the minus 118 with the Brew Crew tonight, 5:40 first pitch in that one. Also, give me Tampa, the Rays, this evening as they've struggled a little bit against Detroit. All right, Atlanta, huge favorite tonight. Let's lay the minus 1.5 with the Bravos against the Marlins. The Fish 6:20 first pitch there. I'm jumping aboard with the Cubs tonight. Tyone really liked what we saw from him in his first start back a week ago. Also going to take the under in that game. And then in the NBA, Pelicans, yes. And a little bit of a sprinkling, just a little taste.
On the Heat?
On the money line. No. Oh. We're not going there. Money line with the Pelicans, too. Plus 270 with the Pelicans money line. Really like that one. And what in hockey tonight? Give me the Stars, but not just to win. We're going to go on the puck line, minus 1.5 against the Golden Knights.
Vegas looked really good.
Plus 163, though, like the price. Maybe it's an empty netter late. That gets us over the edge there. Stars get it done. They shouldn't be the Stars. The Dallas hockey team.
Nope.
I shouldn't even use that term.
Nope,
absolutely hate it. Despise it.
Yep.
Should be the Minnesota North Stars and the Dallas Butt Darts, whatever they want to be. They're not the Stars. There's only one Stars.
Oh, right. The Dallas Butt Darts. That's going to do it for us. We'll end on that note. But Murph and Andy will be here in 6 minutes, and then the drive with Heather and Sean from 3 until 6. We're Miller and Condon weekdays, 11 to 1, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.